Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, May 5th, 2026. Welcome. We are here for the Bullhead City Council work session.
Thank you. I appreciate everyone being here. As the mayor mentioned, we're here today to discuss the work session, discussion regarding a general plan amendment to areas east of the Bullhead Parkway and encompassing Laughlin Ranch and south to Fox Creek development. I'd like to bring on Billy and Johnny from the Development Services Group to lead us through this discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kajirwa. Mayor and Council, so just I'm going to give a brief intro and then I'll introduce Shelby, who will be doing the presentation. So just to get some context on this potential project, this would be a potentially a major general plan amendment for the Laughlin Ranch master planned area. So I think when we think about Laughlin Ranch, we think about the developed areas, we think about the golf course, the clubhouse, those communities, North Fork at Laughlin Ranch. The master plan for Laughlin Ranch actually included like thousands of acres all the way to the eastern boundary of the city, and then towards the south, almost all the way to Fox Creek. So it's those areas south of Laughlin Ranch proper, or Laughlin Ranch Boulevard, and then down towards Fox Creek that we're talking about. Shelby has a presentation that she'll share with you. And with that being said, Shelby with the Diversified Future.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. Thank you so much for allowing us this time to bring this project to you ahead of time before we actually make an official application. We've been working collaboratively on this project with the city staff. Oh, good. Thank you. And wanted to talk to you a little bit about what we have proposed and get some of your feedback, and that way we can collaborate together not only with the staff but with council, and our intention is after with Planning and Zoning Commission as well. Then obviously we'll be going out to the neighbors and doing the normal process. So let me get started. I promise not to keep you too long. Basically, Laughlin Ranch redevelopment, we're proposing a major general plan amendment that we would actually be incorporating into the major general plan amendment that you have coming forth in November. We would actually be coming to you sooner than that in October for our portion, but this is what we would like to have included in the major general plan amendment that the city staff is working on now. This is the original plan. This is the 11,934 acres. Just to get you some bearings here, towards the north, you can actually see the Laughlin Ranch, the existing country club and golf course. We are looking at the lower 4,400 acres. So we would be leaving most of the site alone, but taking about, which is a big chunk, 4,400 acres, and redistributing based on what's happened over the last 20 years. The original plan was approved a little over 20 years ago. And as you can see, is very heavy in residential uses. That's the yellow, light pink, darker pink, and brown. With that said, there has been a lack of absorption of the housing, and we believe that to be because of the current market condition, needing more jobs and higher paying jobs to be able to support and sustain the need there. So what we would like to do is look at those challenges, the 20 years of limited residential absorption, and shifting more towards employment uses for that portion, still maintaining a significant portion of commercial and residential, but then also incorporating more jobs. The potential of adding those jobs would allow us to then distribute into other areas where we would end up creating a mixed-use downtown. That downtown would allow for second downtown environment similar to your downtown here, but closer over to the Laughlin Ranch area. You'd have shopping, dining, entertainment, all integrated with a true mixed use in that section of residential with walkability. The demand we foresee would include a grocer. It would end up having higher job pay, which would then allow us to bring in some higher end users in those for the grocer and for other retail uses. So you would end up with that true mixed downtown feel. We would like to introduce some mixed use, like I said, some commercial and residential so that you can have the walkability in that downtown area. We would also be looking to improve a lot of the live, work, play lifestyle trend in that area, and that would be then supported by all of the employment use that we would be creating in the plan. What we would be proposing is a reduction of the residential area of 1,503 acres by reducing 1,500 acres in that. Or even single-family development, that would be approximately a reduction of 25,832 people. By doing that and increasing the entertainment, and we'd also be eliminating a second golf course. The Laughlin Ranch golf course that is there today is highly used but not needing a second golf course. By doing that mixture of reducing our residential and eliminating one of the golf courses, we can then focus on enhancing the existing trail system as well as some other recreational opportunities that we'll go over here in just a little bit. But we would be enhancing the existing trail system as well as maintaining the open washes and the open space that's already there, keeping it in its natural state instead of creating a golf course, and then adding the light industrial area that would create 2,614 acres of an employment district use. That employment district use would then allow us to, by eliminating the golf course and creating the reduction in residential use, it decreases the amount of water, as you can imagine, that consumption significantly. Something that we're very concentrated on because of everything that's happening with the Colorado River and other things that we're all facing in the desert. Think that this would be not only a much better balanced use in the neighborhood in this area by creating the economic stimulation of the jobs, but also helping with that water usage. This is a map of the 4,400 acres that we would be presenting and wanting to come forward with. As you can see, it's a heavy use still of light industrial, commercial, and residential. Mixed in with the blue is the areas that we would still be providing and donating land for public schools. We would be offering 5 public schools based on the residential demand that would be created in this area. The other public school areas would still remain in the northern portion. There's also a proposed fire and police station in this area that would be supporting this this development as well. And then the open space, which would be created along the washes, parks, and other areas, including the trails that we talked about earlier. Or I shouldn't say we, I talked about earlier. This proposed development change would actually reduce the daily trips by over 100,000 trips a day. That would be because of the reduction in the golf course as well as being a recreational amenity of people going to golf, but also because of the residential use reduction. That's the significant reduction. We still have the added trips, obviously, for the employment, but that creates way less traffic. So our traffic engineer came up with that reduction. And as we talked about the water reduction, by reducing the residential reduction as well as commercial, we only reduced by 7 acres, but I wanted to have a true calculation here for you. And then the golf course reduction, and then adding the light industrial, that increases obviously the water from that baseline. We would actually be proposing a reduction of over 493 million gallons of water a year. Now that is just based on assumptions of what would happen in that light industrial. If you end up with especially a higher tech user, the new technology that they're introducing with the closed loop systems, where basically once they take their first water allocation and it stays in a closed loop within that facility, they actually use even less water than what we've assumed here. I just didn't want to overpromise and not be able to come to that point. So there would be a significant reduction in water alone just based on a baseline. However, it would, I think, be even less depending on who that final user is. It would be a further reduction. I also want to talk about the cost of development. The cost of development, because of the reduced demand, we would not need as many high-cost municipal services, including police, fire, schools, and parks maintenance. That being because there would be less people, there would be less of those uses, therefore reducing what those demands are. However, we would be increasing the stable tax revenue, not only with the tax, but with employment. Employment obviously creates more people here that need housing, as well as the tertiary market that they bring to support schools, healthcare, shopping, entertainment, dining, grocers, things like that. This would actually create a much more fiscal strength for the city by doing something like this. You would end up with anywhere from, say, $10 to $20 million in tax revenue based on just the employment tax alone that would be generated based on just baseline numbers, not knowing who those end users are. And I also want to touch on environmental and open space. I know we've talked about this briefly, but not only would we be reducing land disturbance, the industrial and employment users use a less, it's a smaller footprint than when you go in and grade for an entire subdivision. So it actually allows for more preservation of the wash corridor, obviously would be preserved, but also the land disturbance by not doing as many homes and other things actually allows us to preserve even more land, the footprint being smaller. We would expand and enhance the trail systems that we already talked about, lowering that water consumption as well by eliminating the golf course. And I just want to point out on the new plan that I showed you a little bit ago, and I'm going to show how it all comes together at the end here. We actually are providing 3,597 acres of open space and trail preservation. That comes out roughly to 58 acres per 1,000 residents. I just want to note that that is based on the current proposed plan, well exceeding by more than seven times what the city requirement is. The city requires 6.25 to 10 acres per 1,000 residents, and we would be proposing 58 acres per 1,000 residents. So a significant open space preservation. And I just wanted to put together some pictures of what that would look like on, we understand that there's a lot of ATV riding and a lot of active, out in this area, especially along the existing trail system. So showing just walking trails and ATV trails, we would be working through that during the zoning process, this being just the general plan amendment of what that looks like, what those requirements would be, and what that actually needs to have, what would best serve the city and the residents and that preservation. We've also looked at proposing a shooting range. It's our understanding that there's a lot of people out there that shoot, and we would like to provide a safe environment in an area that they could go to that would be better for everyone, including them. And like anything, if you reduce the amount of water that you're using, you're also reducing the sewer. The sewer would be decreased from the higher sewer demand that comes with the homes and residential use. And in the industrial development, especially in closed loop systems, as you can imagine, there's significantly less sewer demand. So not only would we be decreasing the water, but also the sewer demand. And I just want to talk about the economic fiscal benefits. I did talk about the increased tax base and what that would look like, the tax generation that would happen from the employment tax, as well as the services that would be provided at these typical users, anywhere ranging from $10 to $20 million a year, as I mentioned before. And we can obviously in the next formal presentation provide a better breakdown for you on that. But you'd be increasing that tax base. You would also be reducing public service costs, but also improving job to housing balance. Obviously, by bringing in more more jobs, you have a greater demand for housing. It becomes this cycle of needing people with those jobs, high-paying jobs. We anticipate 10,000 jobs that are created through this industrial use. And I think, again, that's on the lower side. We don't want to overpromise. So depending on who those end users are, looking at a potential full build out, you would generate approximately 10,000 jobs. That's a direct number. You would still then obviously have tertiary jobs that would be created for services and things provided, whether it be in shopping, dining, grocers, things like that. Not to mention construction and everything else that would be coming with the, with those demands. And this is the overall proposed land use. This is then merging what was our 4,400 acres back into the overall 11,934 acres so that you could see what that balance comes out to. And in that balance, I just want to point out that you still are left with 4,379 acres of residential use. You would still have 565 acres of commercial use, and that would be both neighborhood commercial and smaller commercial centers. The light industrial, you would end up with 2,883 acres that, again, would allow for great job opportunities, whether it be advanced manufacturing, technology systems. There's so many different types of uses that as we go through the zoning, we would be providing that in the PAD, looking at the city tables. And then we also have the public and semi-public, which is the schools, the fire, police stations, water and wastewater treatment facilities, things like that. Turns out to about 385 acres that would be used to support the entire overall 11,934 acres. And I just want to conclude with the open space again, still preserving 3,597 acres within all of that for open space, whether it be for the trails systems that are existing that we're enhancing, to parks that are being provided. We've gone through and added parks. It's hard to see at this scale, I know, but parks being in the middle of residential areas, as well as then wash preservation. And again, that comes out to 58 acres per 1,000 as opposed to the 6.25 to 10 acres every 1,000 people. So quite an expansion on the open space and enhancement, I think, of what is already happening out there, but at the same time, making sure that we're working well with what's in that current state and maintaining that for the constituents and citizens and residents that go and use that area. So trying to best develop that whole area while preserving those areas. So I know I went over that really fast. I promise to be quick. We're really here to present this to you, but really more importantly to hear from you on what your thoughts are, what your concerns are, and how we work collaboratively together with, again, the city, with the mayor and council, staff, and Planning and Zoning Commission before we actually make an official application.
Thank you, Shelby. That
yes,
was beautiful.
Thank you.
Why don't we start on my right here? Do you have anything, Gene?
I got here in 2018, so when did Laughlin Ranch, the project that's there now, start?
That major general plan amendment was done in 2005.
Okay, and in that first phase that you have up now,
yep,
there's no schools up there right now, are there?
I believe there is one. No? Okay.
Yeah, there's not a
no.
school
oh,
up
no.
there.
Okay.
There is a fire station, though, that
yes,
just opened
station.
Last year,
yes.
So you had a lot of blue spots on there for
Future
use.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And we work with the city staff, actually, and they help identify, and school system, the school district, of
cool.
when they need those, yeah.
I'm glad you're planning that. The next thing I got to say is the majority of Laughlin Ranch is gated off so knuckleheads like me can't drive my car around up in there, which I've driven
visit.
Through the place a lot of times because you guys don't keep the gate shut sometimes. I just wanted to see what's up there. But this new area where it's going to be more industrial and commercial with maybe movie theaters or whatever stuff,
yeah,
is that going to be gated off too?
No.
So
that
especially
will be open, those commercial areas. And
that'll be open to the public. So
correct.
The other question I had is when you
and the trail systems too.
Trail systems aren't going to go away, and that's going to go all the way down to Silver Creek?
Silver Creek, yes.
So that'll be encompassed in there.
Yes, and still remain public, yes.
Okay. Next question I got is you were briefly talking about recycled water. That sounds like data center to me. Is that what you're kind of thinking out for the area there, or it's just a thought?
Just a thought.
Something
it's a high
like
demand right now in the country, but there's a lot of visitors coming in to look at the property, and I can tell you there's many more than that. I can actually tell you, I made a list here. There's aerospace and defense electronics, the AI hardware and edge computing, high-tech advanced manufacturing, semiconductor packaging and testing, medical device and biotech manufacturing.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm cool with all that. I'm just want to get it in my head before I make an opinion on this.
Sure.
I think it's an overall good plan. As long as we're not blocking off part of the city that would like to go up and utilize some of that.
Yeah.
Shooting range would be awesome on this end of town because everybody that drives up Silver Creek knows it's like a war zone sometimes up there, and we need to kind of control that a little bit.
That's what
I'm an average shooter. I go out all the time, but
okay.
I go way over into Fort Mojave, so something closer here would be great.
Okay.
Another thing, there's a lot of people up in the McCormick area that are begging me for a food store, which, like, I can't build a food store because I'm not that kind of guy, but something like that and closer, yeah, grocery store and stuff up in that way would be awesome. Oh, overall, I got no problem with the plan. I just wanted to clarify because if you're setting up places for schools, but there's no schools and we bring all these jobs, we're going to need more schools.
Exactly.
And I understand cutting down the water and I understand cutting down the thing to kind of open it up to get more jobs here. Mm-hmm. Overall, I think it's a good idea. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Dolan and Shelby. Thank you for the presentation. My question was in regards to the open space and trails, and you did confirm that those would be open to the public?
Yes.
So there's like no charge for just the residents to go up there and use those?
Correct.
And then...
Correct, no charge, yeah.
When you mentioned the 58 acres per 1,000 residents, is that the total population of Bullhead or just the...
Just this 11,900,
so,
yes.
Okay, so just...
And it's a projection, just, right? Depends on once you go through zoning, what you actually get for density. So I used higher numbers, actually, to make sure that I wasn't underestimating the population and then overpromising. So we used higher numbers to make sure that we were providing enough open space and ended up with almost seven times that requirement.
Okay, thank you. Well, initially, I am positive on this as a land use plan. And okay, that's my comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vice Mayor, any comments?
Thank you very much. I enjoyed your presentation. My apologies for being late, but
that's
I don't know
okay.
if you heard all the sirens and everything
oh,
out
no.
here.
I hope everybody's okay.
I don't know either, but I got stuck in it.
Okay.
But anyways, question I do have, has a traffic study been done so that you can tell us what type of impact to the traffic and the roads, especially if you're going to have light industrial, aerospace, and stuff like that in the area?
We haven't done the traffic study yet. We have a traffic engineer on board that's been giving us input based on the traffic, the street layouts, and what the proposed uses are. Once we land on a plan, we will definitely be having a traffic study completed. They need 6 weeks to do that. So before we come back for any other meeting, we'll actually have the traffic study done. We were holding off until we kind of knew. We've gone back and forth with Johnny and staff to massage this plan several times, as you can imagine. And so once we have a plan that we think we're moving forward with, hopefully in the next few weeks, then we'll be doing that traffic study.
Because
it's definitely a reduction, about 100,000 trips per day reduced based on this use compared to what it was.
Because I figured it'd be a little difficult to ascertain what the overall impact would be on your overall plan unless you knew what was happening with traffic.
Right.
Because that could be something that can break the camel's back.
Oh, yeah, nope. So, again, we're reducing by almost 100,000 trips per day. So it's a rarity that I'm working backwards, which is nice. So it is definitely a massage back and forth. We've been really focused on the water use, the traffic, and then making sure that we have a balance of the proposed land uses. And I think we're really close. And then you're correct. Then we'll be doing that traffic study to make sure that we have the right cross-sections for those proposed roadways.
Yeah,
the arterial and collector system.
And one thing you want to keep in mind also is that depend on the type of light industry you bring in as to the amount of 18-wheel trucks that have 60 to 80,000 pounds on it and destruction of the current roads.
Yep, absolutely.
And
then that will do
the
soils pavement recommendation based on that too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Ms. Mayor.
Thank you. Tammy?
Thank you for your presentation. I really like it. I especially like that you're trying to keep the open spaces as natural as we can. That's really, really nice. I like the commercial coming in. That has to be. And overall, I think it's a great idea.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Madam Mayor. My turn.
Yes.
I can't wait. Real quick, were the residents of Laughlin Ranch informed of this meeting?
No, it's just a workshop. We haven't even made an official application yet.
I would like to hear their feedback. Is it possible to get your slideshow emailed to us? Because I have no idea. Where's the downtown going to be? My brain needs streets. And
I can show you. It's section 17, but I can show you it on the map. And actually, the city already has our presentation. So, yes, you have access to it.
Okay, because it wasn't on our email. So
okay. That could have been my fault. I gave a new presentation. I updated it yesterday. So
it's
that might have
fault.
Been my, it is always my fault. Yes.
Okay, so, and it's projected to be 100,000 less cars.
Correct, yes. Okay. It's actually 128,000 less cars. I just, like I said, didn't want to overpromise.
Okay. But that projected is based on the previous general plan?
Correct. Okay. Yes. Yep, and so that's the differential from what we had before to what we're proposing now. Correct.
Okay, so actually, having seen the maps and things will answer a lot of my questions, so thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And again, Shelby, thank you for your presentation. You did clarify a few of my questions because my fellow panel members here have asked them. My one big concern is that we notify the residents in the areas and stuff so that they have a little input. The other thing is you had me at the 10 to 20 million tax revenue generation. I love that idea.
We'll make sure we provide a better breakdown for you so that you can actually see how that was generated.
Perfect, perfect. And then reduction in water usage, and that's, you're speaking my language. So thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing your plan in the future.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Madam Mayor, I'd just like to add a few comments. Obviously, as Shelby mentioned, we are going through our general plan update, and this falls right within the timeline. As of right now, we're still going through that community engagement, public outreach period. This item will come back before you for approval end of June. Before we send it out to the voters for ratification. So that's simply it. I think the presentation speaks for itself. Projects like this are not really particular to our area. If you drive around different communities in Arizona or Nevada, you will see them in North Las Vegas. Things are coming up, obviously, considering the markets and economies. I think our area is probably what also sort of drove them to make this amendment, keeping in mind our regional sort of destination being about 2 hours away from Vegas, 4 hours and 30 minutes from Phoenix, and, you know, 4 hours and 30 minutes from Southern California. So the social economic dynamics for that also play a big part. And, you know, there were some questions, and as she mentioned, we've been working very closely with them in regards to water. 30 minutes prior to our meeting today, the governor's office did send out a press release on an agreement that has been sort of presented both by California, Nevada, and Arizona, sort of speaking to their willingness to take water cuts as a lower basin group, and that's their presentation to the upper basin. So still within our plans, and we should be able to confidently accommodate all of that. Arizona is presenting about 700,000 acre-feet worth of cuts, and then you have California presenting about 450,000 and Nevada 50,000 of that 350,000 allocation. So those cuts are what the governor's office did present out this afternoon. And our utilities director yesterday had a meeting, and we had really positive discussions with the BOR, allowing us to use some of the assets that we did have that in prior years they also didn't allow us to do that. But you know, if you look at North Las Vegas, I'll say west of the valley, Phoenix Valley, Goodyear, Surprise, they're seeing this development coming in, whereby it's a mix of that quality of life, but also creating that job base for the community. And that's what Shelby was here to present today. So if you do want, you can take some more comments from them. And I'd also like to bring Johnny up if you have any more questions for staff.
Any more questions? No?
I did have a couple of remarks. I think one thing to keep in mind is that if they make their application, we can only consider it in October, so that's when they would be in front of the City Council. So the Planning and Zoning Commission would see it in like August or September. If it was approved, it's important to remember that the general plan amendment does not convey zoning, so the underlying zoning would remain. So I think Shelby mentioned, you know, them submitting a PAD, like a plan development document at some point. So that would actually take the individual parcels and request them to be rezoned from mostly residential or open space right now to light industrial, commercial, and residential as she had on her plan.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and also just in addition to that, you know, as this item comes before you over the next couple of months, as Johnny mentioned, it's important to also keep in mind as that item comes before you, be it October or shortly thereafter, you as a council are going to see this item multiple times. So today, obviously, is for discussion purposes. No action is being taken, but rest assured, staff is working very closely with Shelby and group, and this item will be coming for you before you multiple times if it moves forward with the subsequent approvals. Thank you.
Eddie, if we don't give a final approval until October, is that going to be time to put it on in the general plan for the ballot?
Once again, I think as Johnny mentioned, and he can add some additional comments to this, the general plan really doesn't have sort of a lot of, I'll say, influence on the zoning. The general plan lays out the plan for us into how we are moving forward over the next 10 years. So I think taking your comments in at this point in time will be aligned to how we update the general plan, but this particular will not be implemented into the general plan because you will be approving the general plan in June, but this item will be coming to you in October. And at that point in time, it's going to be going through the normal process, but it still falls within the general plan outlook. But the amendment itself will not be a component of the general plan update.
Okay, so this Laughlin Ranch changes would not be on the ballot then, only our regular general plan.
Johnny meant chiming in, and okay, then we can go there.
I want to make sure that Mr. Emery agrees with what I'm going to say here. Is because of the timing, and it just happened that this is the year that we're doing our 10-year update, I think the idea was to actually take this document, the land use plan piece at least, the map that you saw with the different industrial areas and commercial and residential, and actually incorporate that into our document, because we still have two more opportunities with the Planning and Zoning Commission, actually three. So this Thursday we have our second meeting with the commission, and then we have two more Planning and Zoning Commission meetings before council has to take this up for the 10-year update. So the idea would be to incorporate this, because essentially if you approve in June, I think as Mr. Kajural was saying, if you approve the land use plan that doesn't match up with what they're proposing, that would not then be the correct document in November when it goes to the voters. So Mr. Emery, was that the correct way we're gonna do this?
That's a proposal for the council. So what goes into the general plan is up to the council. This is just kind of a unique opportunity because you're having a major plan amendment being proposed almost simultaneously when you're preparing the ballot for the general plan approval. And so if we got to the point where you approve the conceptual plan and you say, yeah, go ahead and put that in the general plan proposal, it could go in there as well. And so if then that could go on the ballot as is. Under that case, I'd still advise that the developer proceed with the general plan amendment process so that's not lost, because there's always a chance that your general plan does not get approved by the voters. And then that just has to be submitted at the next election again until it is approved. And so that's going to be an option, I believe, that you have in the very near future on this. So it'll be dual tracks, essentially. If you authorize it, you could decide you don't want to have it in the general plan and wait for it to go through the formal plan amendment process.
Madam Mayor, so just so make sure I'm understanding, the land use aspect of this, not the zoning, not the details, not the downtown, but the land use aspect of it, that can go through enough of a process that we would see it in the deadline to put it in our general plan that will be on the ballot in November, should, correct? I mean, they'll have enough time to do that, just the land use.
It's essentially in that state right now, okay. Essentially.
So if I understood what you said, we incorporate it into the general plan for the public to vote on, and then if for whatever reason the general public does not pass the general plan, they're still proceeding with the other avenue so that they can make the changes in their area, assuming their residents and all that in that area approve of it.
They could do that. We're not directing them to, but they could do that, yes.
Okay.
And so again, so they would be presenting this in October to the council, and then the ballot measures in November. So they're kind of back to back, but I guess in theory, the council could approve it in October, And then it would be, even if the ballot measure did not pass, that, you know, if it doesn't pass, the current general plan moves forward for the next couple of years until there's another election. So if council passes this amendment, it would carry forward on our current general plan until the next time we go to the ballot measure again.
That was a good clarification. I understood that.
So let me clarify just a little bit. If the public does not approve the plan that's proposed, it reverts to the prior existing plan. It goes back to square one. It just stays there until something new gets approved.
But the amended plan that they're working on would come to us on your timeline in October, so prior to the November elections.
Yeah, so if council approved that, that would become part of our existing general plan, the one that we're under right now.
Before
not the
elections.
Right.
But would it not be better if the land use was incorporated into the general plan that's being presented to the public?
Well, that was one of the options that we proposed, is that this would be a dual way of viewing this, because ultimately it's the public, and that's why you go through these general plan amendment processes, so that you have maximum public participation. And your general plan amendment, a general election, is your maximum public participation.
Madam Mayor. And
yes.
When I say this, I'm probably not going to say it right, so you correct me if I'm wrong, Pam. The original plan is for you to build another Laughlin Ranch with another golf course. So that's already in stone kind of right now. So what we're trying to do is change the other golf course into this new thing, right? Which I think everybody's kind of sort of in favor of, instead of building another Laughlin Ranch golf club and all that. So if we don't do this, well, all we're trying to do is change the original plan to this plan. Am I right thinking that? Okay,
right.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions,
so
comments?
Just additional comments and to assist with some sort of understanding and comprehension of the item before you. You just spoke to Mr. Emery. The process, as he mentioned a few minutes ago, and you do have the ability to do this, if you wanted to incorporate the current amendment that has been presented to you, as you mentioning, council member, for the public to be aware of this and have input before them as they go to the ballot, we will have to incorporate this item into the general plan update that we're doing right now. And then the Planning and Zoning Commission will have to go ahead and do their approval and do public hearing by June 4th, so that by the time the item comes back to you on June 16th for approval, this changes are incorporated into the general plan update, and then upon your approval, that's the updated item that is going to the public for the ballot vote later this November.
Okay. Any more comments? No.
Yeah, Mayor Dahl, Eddie, I think you just answered my question, but this land use plan would need to be incorporated by June 4th in order to be approved by June 16th.
Correct.
Okay.
But that's only to ensure that it goes into the general plan that's going to on the ballot in November.
Yeah, to be on the ballot.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to. It can go as an amendment to the current general plan that they have up there. Correct?
That's the other
Thank
option.
You.
That's the other option, yes.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I believe that concludes our work session.
We do have people from planning.
Every first Thursday of the month, and Parks and Recreation meetings are held every third Wednesday.